Mary brought us 150 calendars, so there are enough for everyone here this morning to take one. They feature Jerry Harris, and some of you have know who he is. He is an artist that does depictions of Jesus. I was carrying this morning like this, and someone says, "You look a lot like Jesus." And so these are beautiful pictures of Jesus, and it includes in it daily Bible readings that are in chronological order. So they're out here in the atrium on those tables. So if you'd like to pick one up, and here I'm going to give Enola the first free one. So Enola, she tried to register this morning on the church app, and she says, just put in your first name. She put in Enola, and it didn't recognize her, and she was very upset. They should know who I am by now. So she had to put in her entire name. We are glad that you are here. Welcome to 2021. Like it or not, I think a lot of you are liking it, that we can say it's a different year. If you live in Denison, and many times you perhaps have driven down Morton Street, one of the liquor stores has a marquee that says, "I'm ready for 2020 to pass just like a kidney stone." That is pretty funny, actually. So, it was a little painful, wasn't it? 2020 was a little bit painful. I remember thinking when in 2019, I remember thinking when we were making plans for 2020. 2020 is going to be the year of perfect vision, the year of clear vision for the kingdom of God. Well, what does Proverbs 19:21 say? Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. It was a challenging year, a bit of sifting, I believe, a bit of pruning on all of our parts. In John chapter 15, Jesus mentions the pruning. I want us to look at some passages this morning, but in John chapter 15, go to that next slide. Jesus says, and you know the story well, "I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." My view of 2020 is that God did some pruning in all of our lives. What was it that God challenged you to get rid of in 2020? What did God want to prune from your life? If you're honest with yourself, and you should be, what did God want to get rid of in 2020? Maybe it was fear, because you know, I believe the fear level in all of us kind of went up. Anxiety went up. Pride, lust, whether it's our dependence on the world, our confidence in ourselves, confidence in our bank account, confidence in us, I think God wanted to do some pruning. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me," and if remain is not circled in your Bible, "remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Would you read that with me? "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Let's go to the next slide. The next slide, "apart from me, you can do nothing," or "apart from me, you can do no thing." Do you believe it? Do you believe that when it comes to our spiritual life, physical life, you know what? We can keep on keeping on and doing what we're doing because, you know, we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and we just keep going. But if we're talking about spiritual life, and we are, spiritual life is in Jesus. Abundant life is in Jesus. But apart from Him, we can do no thing, no thing. Do you really believe it? Thank you, Enola. Do you really believe it? And I believe it was put to this test this past year. Will 2021 be different? Will it be better? You know that there's no promise that it's going to be any better. But I want you to know that I saw this. This came to me to my email. Etsy.com has declared 2021 the year of basil. I received that on my phone. Etsy.com, the year of basil. I said, it's mine. All of it. So I claimed dibs. Dibs. I don't, you know, what if any of you got that same email, just delete it because it's mine. I laughed so hard because, well, somebody's trying to make me feel better at least. I have a plaque in my office that says this. Is this one here? No, the next one. Etsy.com declared the year of basil, but basil.com declares 2021 the year of the Lord. It's God's year. Because you know what? If it's my year, it's going to be a mess. I just realized that if I have anything to do with this year, it's going to be a mess. So 2021 is the year of the Lord. And we have to make it. We have to decide in our hearts, this is going to be God's year. We're going to put him on the throne where he belongs. I mean, he's on the throne. Do I recognize him on the throne? Am I making him Lord like he wants to be? I have this plaque in my office that reads this. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Do you know who holds tomorrow? Because I believe that's what we all want to know. We all want that. We want to know God has got me. Wherever I am, whatever comes my way, God has got me. And so we could say, I don't know what 2021 is going to bring, but I know that if I fix my eyes on Jesus, it's going to be a great year. I'm going to make it a great year through faith in Christ Jesus, keeping my eyes on him. What are we made of? What are we made of? I think this past year, we were made to ask that question. What's going to keep me going? What's going to keep me going? What am I made of? Was COVID simply a distraction to take my eyes off of Jesus? Was 2020 a test? Did 2020 put me through the fire? Did 2020 do some refining in me? I think the answer to all those is yes. I think God is constantly refining us if we're aware and we're sensitive to his moving and working in this world. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about God disciplines his sons and his daughters, those that he loves. He is constantly disciplining. And so if we see this past year as discipline, as God is making me and molding me, perhaps breaking me a little bit, so that I will be formed to his likeness. Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote in her poem, epic poem, Aurora Leigh, "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest just sit around, and they pluck blackberries." I love the thought there that do you see that earth is crammed with heaven, that God is always trying to get our attention? Every common bush, afire with God. God is speaking. God is shining his light. Am I seeing those bushes, or am I just sitting around plucking blackberries? Am I paying attention to what God is doing in this world? Do you see the divine all around you? Are your eyes open to the spiritual world? And are you taking care of the most important part of you, your soul, your spiritual soul? Dallas Willard wrote in his book, Renovation of the Heart, he wrote this, "Our soul is like a stream of water, which gives strength, direction, and harmony to every other area of our life. And when that stream is as it should be, we are constantly refreshed and exuberant in all we do. because our soul itself is then profusely rooted in the vastness of God and His kingdom, including nature. And all else within us is enlivened and is directed by that stream. Therefore, we are in harmony with God and reality and the rest of human nature and nature at large. Our soul is like a stream of water. That first line there is so important, which gives strength, direction, and harmony to every other area of our lives. Are we taking care of that stream of water? In his book, John Ortberg's book, Soul Keeping, I've referred a couple of years ago, I did a sermon on referring this book. This is a book that I read every year, sometimes multiple times, because it speaks to my heart, it speaks to my soul. And the tagline there at the bottom, if you can't read it, it says, taking care, caring for the most important part of you, your soul. I have to be reminded yearly that if I'm not taking care of me, no one's taking care of me. You are responsible for your soul and feeding your soul and taking care of your soul. In this book, John Ortberg tells a story, and it's called The Keeper of the Spring. I want to read it because I think it says so much. I think it will resonate with you. As you begin 2021, listen to these words. There once was a town high in the Alps that straddled the banks of a beautiful stream. And the stream was fed by springs of water that were old as the earth and deep as the sea. The water was clear like crystal. Children laughed and they played beside it. Swans and geese swam on it. And you could see the rocks and the sand and the rainbow trout that swarmed at the bottom of the stream. High in the hills, far beyond anyone's sight, lived an old man. He served as keeper of the springs. He had been hired so long ago that now no one could remember a time that he wasn't there. He would travel from one spring to another in the hills, removing branches or fallen leaves or debris that might pollute the water. But his work was unseen. One year, the town council decided they had better things to do with their money. No one supervised the old man anyway. They had roads to repair, taxes to collect, services to offer, and giving money to an unseen stream cleaner had become a luxury they could no longer afford. So the old man left his post. And high in the mountains, the springs went unattended. Twigs and branches and worse muddied the liquid flow. Mud and silt compacted the creek bed. Farm wastes turned part of the stream into stagnant bogs. For a time, no one in the village noticed. But after a while, the water was not the same. It began to look brackish. The swans flew away to live elsewhere. The water no longer had a crisp scent that drew children to play by it. Some people in the town began to grow ill. All noticed the loss of sparkling beauty that used to flow between the banks of the stream that fed the town. The life of the village depended on the stream, and the life of the stream depended on the keeper. The city council reconvened. The money was found, and the old man was rehired. After yet another time, the springs were cleaned. The stream was pure. Children played again on its banks. Illness was replaced by health. The swans came home, and the village came back to life. The life of a village depended on the health of the stream. The stream is your soul. And you are the keeper. The stream is your soul, and you are the keeper. That speaks to me. Am I keeping Am I taking care of the stream that flows? How well are you doing as keeper of the stream, as keeper of your soul? I want to look this morning. I believe the Apostle Paul has a lot to help us, to remind us, to challenge us in our role and our attitude in these challenging times. And as we begin this new year, I believe we all need to reaffirm our role, reaffirm our identity. We need to take a look at our spiritual stream and see how well are we doing. Are we being the men and women that God designed us to be? We want to be used to His glory this year. Amen? So, as Elizabeth Barrett Browning says, we just don't want to sit around and pluck blackberries. We want to see the burning bushes. We want to see where God is speaking, and we want to encounter Him and go with Him wherever He would have us go. So, in your Bibles, be turning to 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at just a few choice passages in the first four chapters, but in chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says this, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ." You want to stand firm in 2021? I do. He has anointed us. He has set His seal of ownership on us. He has put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Amen. You want to stand firm. He says you've got to use the power. You've been anointed with the power of God. You've been given the power of God. You've been given the Spirit of God. He has set His seal of ownership. You are mine. I bought you with a price. Therefore, honor God with your lives. Honor God with your bodies. And He says, guaranteeing what is to come. Whatever happens in 2021, the guarantee is already there, right? The guarantee is already there. Our identity, your identity, my identity is in Christ. He makes me stand firm. Go to that next slide. Your identity is in Christ. He makes you stand firm. He bought us with a price. Our future is in His hands. So we don't take our eyes off of Him for 1 second. Next scripture in chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma that brings death, to the other the aroma that brings life." Who is equal to such a task? I'm not equal to such a task by myself. Are you? No. But with Jesus in us, with the power of the Spirit in us, He makes us able. He enables us to do this. Just before that, in verse 14, it says, "God uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere." Isn't that an honor to be used by God to spread His aroma wherever we go? We are to be the aroma of Christ in 2021. God believes in you. God has invested in you. God bought you and chose you. And we, as the body of Christ, are to be His aroma in 2021. There's a picture here of a diffuser. Perhaps you've seen those, or perhaps you have one in your home. And those diffusers, those sticks, diffusing sticks that go down into the perfume, the smell wafts throughout the room. And why does that smell go throughout the room? Because the diffuser sticks are where? They're in the perfume. They're in what makes it smell good. And it goes out into the room. And unless we are in Christ, unless we are every day in Christ, growing in Him, having ourselves immersed in Him, having ourselves strengthened in Him every single day, we're not going to give off the aroma of Christ. Because you've had those packets of potpourri after a while that you kind of go, "I don't smell it anymore." The smell has gone. And what do you do with the packet of potpourri? You throw in the trash. If you take those sticks out of that diffuser, in a little while, they're going to lose their scent and you're going to throw them away as well. When you're not in Christ daily, being built up in Him and being strengthened in Him, and your roots growing in Him, and you're growing in the Word and prayer and praise and adoration, then you're going to lose the scent of the aroma of Christ. Does anybody want to be the aroma of Christ in 2021? Yes, let's be the aroma of Christ in 2021. Next passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, "You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God." Paul says, you got to be living letters because people are reading your life. You think, why do people read when they see me? What do they see in my life? What is the story that your life tells when people meet you, when they greet you, when they get to know you? There's a law in the law of communication is that you cannot not communicate. Everything you do, everything you don't do, communicates. Speaking communicates. The words you use, the facial expressions, your heart, whether you're open or closed. Silence communicates. Being still communicates. Your nonverbals. Everything communicates. Everything about you is telling a story. What does your story tell? When people read your life, what do they read? I know without a doubt that God wants, we are His ambassadors. We are His men and women sent to make a difference in this world, to be that aroma, but also to be read. He wants our lives to come before people and they read us and they go, wow, that person is a follower. That person is a Christ follower. I know that. I know that by their smile. I know that by the way that they treat people. I know that by the way that they're able to control their tongue. I know that by the warmth that they bring off, that they put off. I know this because I've read their lives. What are we reading? What are people reading in your life? Does your life point people to Jesus? Does your story point people to Jesus? In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, a little further down in that passage, it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, in me, in you, there's freedom. And we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Are you contemplating the Lord's glory daily? Remember the story of Moses when he goes up on the mountain, on Mount Sinai, and he's there for 40 days, and he comes down. The people say, "No, put a veil over you because you're shining too much." You know, what if people were to say, "You need to put a veil on because you shine too much"? It's probably not going to happen to us, but you know what? The more that we spend time in the presence of God, the more likely that people are going to see the glory of God and notice that we are being changed and that we are being made into His likeness. This quote comes from Desiring God. It says, "No Christian drifts into holiness. The flesh is too weak, the devil too deceitful, and the world too alluring." We're just not going to drift into a deeper relationship with God. It doesn't happen. It has to be intentional. There has to be intentionality in our walk and in our talk. If we want to change, we got to get into God's Word on a daily basis. We're just not going to drift there. In 2021, you're not going to just drift there. If you drift, you're going to be somewhere out there and no one's even going to know. So are you having daily quiet times? You know the idea of quiet time is, that's never said in the Bible, but we know that Jesus would withdraw. Mark 1:35 says that Jesus withdrew and had time alone with his Father, solitude. Are you spending time praying, reading his word, growing in the Spirit of God? The Bible talks a lot about knowledge, growing in the knowledge of God and meditating on his word. Psalm 1 is one of that beautiful psalm that says, blessed is the man who meditates day and night on the word of God. He's like a tree that's planted by streams of water and it produces its fruit in season. And Psalm 119 is one of the most beautiful psalms that just says, the word of God, every single day, you got to have the word of God. 176 verses in Psalm 119 that says, the importance of the word of God. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And you know, that idea of lamp unto my feet means when it's dark, when times are difficult, that if God's word is just helping me take one more step out in front, a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. But if I don't have the word of God as a lamp to lead me, I may stumble, I may fall, I may make a lot of mistakes that I regret. So if you're not paying attention to your soul, if you're not doing these things, if you're not feeding your spiritual soul and resting and taking care of yourself, this is what could happen. This is a picture. Perhaps you've seen these before, a sinkhole. What happens in cities or in places where the ground underneath just collapses? I saw a picture recently of a town in Japan where five lanes in a multi-million people city, millions and millions of people, five lanes of traffic just collapsed because there was nothing underneath. This is what could happen, metaphorically speaking. Those sinkholes can happen in our lives where when the bottom drops out, is there anything there? That's why if we're in the Word of God and we are being made stronger in the Word of God and strengthened by His Spirit, then when the difficult times come, I don't do that. Spiritually, I don't fall apart. I don't have this sinkhole where I'm just totally lost and I can't make my way back. God wants us to take our life, every bit of our life, and He wants to fill it up with Him. So I ask you this question: are you contemplating His glory? Are you filling yourself up with Him? Because this is how you become a better man, a better woman, a better family person, a better boss, a better employer, a better neighbor. Because you're depending on Him and not yourselves. So if you're not contemplating, and that word contemplation means a slowing down and a being still and stopping, be still and know that I am God. Taking time to replenish spiritually then makes those sinkhole times, when difficult times in our life, not so tragic and not so deep. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 6 says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. For God said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. God shining on you, and you intentionally asking God to shine on you. Lord, lead me today. Lord, give me strength today to do what you would have me do. It is His light, seeking His light, knowing that the light comes from Him. The light does not come from you or me. The light comes from Him and His Spirit. So the more time that I spend being filled with Him, I will be blessed. Are you illuminated by God's Word, by God's Spirit, by God's presence? This is our purpose. Go to that next slide. This is our purpose. This is our ministry, that God shines through us. And you see, when God shines through us and in us as men and women of God and children of God, with the Spirit of God in us, what does it do? It spells opportunity. Opportunity. God puts opportunity before us. When we are the aroma of Christ and we are in Christ, it spells opportunity. God opens doors for us. When we are His living letters and people are reading our lives and they see Christ in us, opportunity comes our way. And people ask us questions and they want to know why we do, or what church do we go to? Why do we do the things we do? It spells opportunity. And the last one that I want to look at is the jars of clay in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. He says, we have this treasure, and the treasure is God. It's the power of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's the presence of God. That's the treasure that we have. When we know God and we know who He is, that is a treasure that people outside of Christ do not have. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our body. When I see that phrase, our lives are always being given over to death, makes me think of Jesus when He says, take up your cross and follow me daily. And when Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Do we share our story of hope? You know, you and I have hope. We have victories, but we have defeats. And that's what he says in this passage about the treasures in jars of clay. He says we have sufferings, we have pain, we have loss. But you know what? God is at work in all of our sufferings, all of our pain, all of our losses. And it's in sharing our story of hope of how God helped us through those difficulties, through the loss, through the devastation, through the pain, through the illness. When other people hear our story that we made it through and we tell them, they know a little bit more about how God works and how God moves. That is why we do what we do. That is how we become the aroma of Christ, telling our stories. Perhaps you've heard this before, this jars of clay. If you read about the jars of clay, it says, you know, they're hard-pressed, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Perhaps you've heard the analogy, we are all just a bunch of cracked pots. We are cracked pots, and those fractures, those difficulties that we experience in life. Those fracture lines, those stress marks show that we're human and that we've got to have God in us. And when you put a light inside of a cracked pot, you know what? The light shines, but it shines through those cracks. It shines through the cracks. So we should not be ashamed of the cracks, of the scars, the pain that we experience, but we share those as how God has brought us through those difficult times. Corrie Ten Boom famously said, "When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You just sit still and you trust the engineer." You sit still and you trust the engineer. We have an engineer that you can trust. We have not been left to despair because we have a Savior. We have hope. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Song that I've grown to love just recently, River Valley Worship sings this song, a contemporary song. If you haven't heard it, Google it, go to YouTube and hear the song, "Hope Has a Name. His name is Jesus. My Savior's cross has set this sinner free. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Christ be praised. I have victory. I have victory. You have victory because you have hope in Jesus. No matter what comes our way, through the darkness, through the tunnels of life, as Corrie Ten Boom says, that we hang on through the tunnel until we come out on the other side. We have an engineer that we can trust. We have a God that we have trust, that we can trust. A few years back, Randy Harris came and he spoke to the men of the church, and he used this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 about incompetency. He says, "I wake up every morning," he says, "you know, in Christ we are made competent, but by myself I am incompetent." So he says he gets up every morning and he looks in the mirror and he says, "Hello, I am incompetent." Well, what's he saying is, I can't do this on my own. I cannot shine in this world of darkness by myself. This 2021, the year of Basil, it's not going to happen, I tell you. It's going to be a failure if I depend upon myself in 2021. Apart from me, you can do no thing. Apart from me, you can do no thing. I'm reminded over and over in Scripture, I'm a spiritual being. And I've got to take care of my spiritual soul. And I will die spiritually if I don't take care of my stream, the stream that flows from my heart. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're closing with this passage this morning. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says this, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed," what? Day by day. Daily renewal, renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, whatever dark tunnels we go through in 2020 or 2021 or 2022, whatever dark tunnels come our way, those light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes where? Not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. What is unseen is eternal. God needs you, church, to shine in 2021. He needs you to be His aroma. He needs you to be His living letters. He needs you to be His cracked pots that He can shine through, that you can show where He is at work. And it only happens through daily surrender, through daily being immersed in Jesus Christ and in the leading of His Spirit. Would you bow with me, please? Father God, we are nothing without You. We are lost without You. We cannot take one step alone. We need to be immersed in You, and we need to daily be surrendering to You. And I pray, Father, that for each of us that's here this morning that have heard some of these scriptures, that something that has been said, some word from Your Spirit, and Your word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, is still here to speak to us today. Your word also says faith comes by hearing the word of God. And Lord, I pray that some way today that someone in this audience, that their faith has been spurred on to go deeper, to grow deeper in the word, in the word of God, and in their relationship with God this year. That Father, that we would be the aroma of Christ wherever we walk, wherever we talk, whatever we say, whatever we do. That as people read our lives and as we're living letters, that Father, they will truly read that we are sons and daughters of integrity who say what we say and we do what we do. We do what we mean, Father. And also, Father, that we would be those jars of clay, those cracked pots that we're not ashamed to share where we have fallen, even our sins, our warts and our foibles, all the ways that we have messed up. But the God, that You are the God that works through our mess, and that You actually shine in these jars of clay, through these jars of clay, through the cracks and through the pain and all the things that we've been through, that You make Yourself known. You reveal Yourself. So I pray for each one of us, Father, that Your Spirit of God will lead and direct us, that our hearts will be open to You, because everything that's been said today, Lord, really is about our hearts. Is my heart open to Your leading? Do I want to draw closer to You? And Lord, I do, and I pray that the people that are hearing this morning want to grow deeper in You. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for shining down upon us, Spirit of God. Thank You for being the light of the world that comes to shine into our darkness. You make my world, You make my life so much better, Lord. You illuminate my path. So, Lord, help us, each one of us, just to surrender as we begin 2021. We surrender our lives to You. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing this song, "The Light of Your Love is Shining."